He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Our speaker for today has lived almost all her life in service to the Lord. Right from the tender age of 9, she developed an intimate relationship with God. With her burning charisma and zealousness for the word, she did not follow the worldly path of her peers and spent her early years preaching in marketplaces, universities, street corners, and the like. She serves as executive director of Daughter You Can Make It Ministry. She is a speaker and strong woman advocate who challenges women to serve as blessings to their husbands and families. As an insightful speaker, she draws heavily from her education and background in law. She attended the University of Ghana, where, as mentioned earlier, she studied right here in this faculty, the Faculty of Law, and met her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and presiding bishop of Lighthouse Chapel International. She is blessed with 4 children. David, Joshua, Daniela, and Paula. With echoes of her husband's preaching style, she has reached out to many and is still fulfilling the great commission of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, your speaker, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. That was good applause for a vessel of clay. But I want you to give a resounding applause to the reason why we are here. His name is Jesus. Give it to him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, thank you for the privilege of standing behind the sacred desk to proclaim your infallible word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Let this word, Lord, go and perform that for which it is sent this morning. I forbid this word from returning void, but I declare that I shall accomplish your divine reason for which it has been sent. I come against any hardness of heart. The entrance of your word brings light. Bring light into our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may take your seats. Well, I would like to congratulate you on the celebration of your law week. And like the one who did the introduction said, I studied here, but not in such a plush environment. The law faculty at that time was down the road, and it looked more like we survived. And it used to be the furthest faculty. So most people who were in the law faculty lost weight just by walking from Balter Hall to the law faculty. So I even got lost getting here, because I knew you had a new building. I've driven past it, but I couldn't figure out where it was. So thank you for the invitation. And I want you to know that you should do better and get better grades, given the environment in which you are learning now. even the lecturers' rooms, offices were not so great, but we managed. I remember when I entered the first day, I was very surprised that all the great lawyers came from such a place. But I recovered quickly, and I'm happy to be here. I want to recognize the presence of God here, and I give him glory for being able to be here. I also want to thank my husband, the bishop, for releasing me to be here. And I want to salute your patron for standing with a godly group on campus. It is necessary. In my time, we had no Law Week service. There was nothing like that. We had Law Week, all right, but there was no Law Week service. So I hope that things are getting better spiritually. Amen. Legon brings a lot of good memories to me. And just driving on the campus always makes me very thankful to God. I also want to thank the executive for the honor in inviting me. One of the good things in Legon is, or was, that when I look back, it was one of the most fruitful years of my life. I grew spiritually very much, more than when I entered. And
hello. And I was able to... Is it okay?
That one was better. I was able to bear much fruit by the grace of God. And then the icing on the cake was that I met my husband on these hallowed grounds. Now I want to encourage you, the brothers. This is the time of fruitfulness. When I look into my class, for some reason, there were not many pairings in my class. And I don't know why. Whether the brothers were intimidated by the sisters, I don't know. But there were a few, but not many. And even the few came after school. So that surprised me. But the training here, I see as a blessing. And 2 years ago, my class chalked 25 years at the bar. Last year, so it was 3 years ago. So, Cynthia, and she was working to celebrate the 20 years, and they did me the honor in coming to our church to grace the occasion. But our class, by God's grace, has produced great luminaries of law. The president of the Bar Association is from our class. The Minister of Defense, the Attorney General under MPP was my mate, and he always said in class, I'm going to be the Attorney General of Ghana one day. So confession brings possession. Yeah. And the next government, that was the NDC government, the Deputy Attorney General was also from our class. The Minister of Defense, he was my discussion group mate and my time ministry. So yes, we came to do law, but we went away with much more than that. And I pray that as you have legal goals, you are going to look at MIS to see your grades. It's good. But life is not just law. There's a higher calling. Amen. I tell you from my experience, preparing to preach is more difficult than preparing to go to court, in my opinion. Because you have to hear from the Holy Spirit, you have to receive revelation, you have to pray before God. It wasn't like that with the law. The law is challenging, but it's also interesting. So I pray that you will leave here with a two-pronged sword, not just academic laurels, but also a deeper insight in your walk with God. Amen. It is not necessarily the first class students who have become the brightest in the world. not necessarily people who got Minister Saba Award who are the best lawyers. It is the grace of God. And it's amazing how life plays out. It is the people who got lower in things who have become great luminaries in the law. So the way up is down and the way down is up in the kingdom of God. So I pray that as you are here, you will make intelligent and useful and spiritual choices, because that is really what matters. And also, unfortunately, a few of us, not many, have been called home by God. They had great positions and they were heading great things. But suddenly, some of them suddenly, they were called home to eternity. When we get to eternity, it's not how long the sentence is after your name is. Because by the grace of God, afterwards, I worked in private practice and then moved on to the Attorney General's Department, the Legislative Drafting Division, and was privileged to have a postgraduate from England. But I count all these things but dung for the excellency of knowing Christ. And I pray that that will also be your portion. Amen. I am told that your theme is the integrity of the lawyer and his influence on the legal system of Ghana. Okay, the lawyer. Key player in ensuring integrity in the legal system of Ghana. That is your theme. How the lawyer can ensure integrity in the legal system of Ghana. It's a very good theme. And I pray that we can reflect on it this morning. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 3. Are you there? Are you there or you've gone home? Okay. John chapter 3. And I'll be very brief. And I ask that 5 minutes to time, you give me a cue, please. Because I have a weakness of just ranting on. Okay. But this morning, I just came to have a conversation with you. John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witnesses. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Amen. Well, this morning I want to speak to you about the ordinary topic of ye must be born again. Amen. The only way you can ensure the integrity of the legal system and the lawyer's contribution to it is for the lawyer to be genuinely born again. Amen. Being born again is not belonging to Lighthouse Chapel International. Being born again is not being in the choir, the beautiful ad hoc choir I saw that sang. Being born again is not even the ability to read scriptures from a Bible. Being born again is not about being a moralist, because the Bible says that all of us, our good works are like filthy rags before God. So whether we do suicide bombing, whether whatever we do, it does not erase the fact that we are sinners. It does not exonerate us from the filthiness of sin. Amen. Now, this man, Nicodemus, the Bible describes him as a Pharisee. A Pharisee of the highest religious order. They knew all the rules. They knew all the do's and don'ts. They even brought Jesus before their judgment seat. They were upholders of the highest level of the law. And so many of you are going to be as time goes on. But in spite of he being a Pharisee, he was not born again and he did not know God. The Bible says the same came to Jesus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a big man, just like many lawyers are in society. My husband often asks me, he says that doctors drive themselves all the time. But lawyers, they always want drivers. And they always like to sit behind the cars. Why is that? I said, because we think on our feet. He said, are you trying to say that we don't think? I said, whilst we are going to court, we are thinking on our feet. So if we drive, it's going to be a mishap. So somebody must drive so that we can think. And then also, we are learned. And I said to him, even what we wear shows that we are learned. He said, really, like what? I said, oh, like the wig. It is actually the cranium, the brain, and how it has been arranged. That is why you have all those pleats behind the wig. And that's why we are called learned friends. So Nicodemus was a learned man, a ruler of the Jews. If you like, he was in the highest point of the judiciary. But he still did not have a meaningful relationship with God. And he still was not born again. So you may be a ruler. Even in the legal world, you may be very big. When you speak, they say, wow, you are an authority. When they read your judgments, people say, wow, you are not the type of judge who just says, I concur. Amen. But still, he did not know Jesus. And the Bible says, he came at night. Many of us are ashamed to recognize God. We are ashamed to be classified as Christian. We are ashamed to be associated with anything Christian. And we hide in the night like Nicodemus. But no matter our religiosity, if there's a word like that, and no matter our standing in society, and no matter how learned we think we are, we all need Jesus. And sometimes big manism can get in the way of having a relationship with God. So he came in the night, because in the night people will not see him entering. And people will not see you that you have a spiritual problem. And people will not see you that in spite of your hey on campus, there's a deep hunger and a thirst in you. So he came in the night. And when he came to, he brought a lot of accolades to Jesus. Master, we know that you are from God. Rabbi, titles, flatteries. We know that you are from God because no man can do these miracles except God is with that person before he comes to even ask the questions. So some of us think that God is like a Ghana customs officer. You can bribe him. Or a Ghana policeman. You can bribe him. One of my mates was off to a function on a Saturday, and then he met a policeman. He's a lawyer. The policeman stopped him and said he had run the red lights. And my friend said, no, I've not run the red lights. And the policeman was insisting and said he was taking him to MTU and he was running late. So he said, Master, I beg you, I can't go to MTU. He says, oh, you're going to MTU now. Otherwise, whatever. I'm getting to your car. So he got it. And then he said to my mate, oh, if you could pay just 100 CDs, you know, I'll let you off. And my mate said, I'm sorry, I don't have any 100 CDs to give you. So then we are going to MTU. Then my mate had taken his phone and was doing. He said, you know what, please, man, I've recorded everything we are saying. So yes, let's go to MTU. When we get there, I'm going to record it. You asking me for 100 CDs, me refusing to pay. The evidence is here. Say, Master, please, I beg, I'll get down. God is not that type of Ghana policeman. We can't bribe him. And he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do? Eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts on this earth when you start to have a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And Jesus said, verily, verily, when God says anything twice, it means it's very serious. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter. Cannot is different from will not. Just like shall is mandatory and may is discretionary, cannot means it is impossible to enter. Amen? So Jesus is saying that except we go through that thing called being born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And we cannot be lawyers of integrity. Because I tell you, the temptations are a lot. We are taught in law, when you do legal ethics and advocacy, you'll find we're in the law school, you'll find out that we are taught to tell clients when the case is bad. And not to accept certain types of cases when we know from the facts given that this case does not have merit. But many lawyers take the case in spite of our. When you learn ethics, we learned that when you are a lawyer, you are not allowed to sit on a motorbike. You are not allowed to eat at a chop bar. Then you'll be calling me. I'm sure some do it, but ethically, it was not allowed. So we used to say, let's eat all we can before we get to that place. And we are told this. So that was just by the way. But I'm saying that in spite of all these ethics and things we learned, that is not what makes a person able to walk the walk and talk the talk. It is a certain grace from above and a certain transformation from within that makes that possible. And Jesus said, except a man, it means whosoever you are. The law is no respecter of persons. I think it's part of Dicey's theory, I'm not sure. But the law is no respecter. It's equal before human rights, universal. Everybody is equal before the law. In the same way, in the sight of God, every man needs salvation. And every man needs to be born again. It is not about being good. Have you not seen that you have been trying New Year's resolutions and they are not working? So, today is 1st January. From today, I won't lose my temper. I won't do this. I won't do that. You have good intentions, but by the next day you have failed. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory thereof as the flower that fades. So you are not going anywhere to happen. So Lady Reverend, what do we do? I want to establish the fact that every man is born into sin. David says in Psalm 51, behold, I was born in iniquity from my mother's womb. From my mother's womb. So before you come, that is why children have traits of evil. When children are babies and they want attention, they can cry without tears. Who taught them to be deceptive?
not tears, oh,
but they are manipulative.
Who taught them? The seed of Adam
is already in them.
When they are playing with toys, they snatch from the other person. They scratch the other person's face. They haven't yet been to school. Nobody has taught them. But it is the seed of sin in man, which began from the Garden of Eden and cannot be solved by determination and strong will. Amen. Lady Reverend, how can this be solved? It can be solved through the answer Jesus gave. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nowadays, people say they are born again, but there's no fruit to show. And Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. Not by how much they speak in tongues. Not by how often they go to church, but they are by their fruits you will know. Amen? So what do we do now? What it is that when man fell, his spirit also fell. And we became alienated from God. And God saw that we were in a sorry state. And therefore he sent his son to save us. But Jesus is a gift. And it's up to you and I whether we will receive the gift or not. When we were younger in secondary school, some boys would send Valentine's Day gifts and some girls would write on the back, return to sender. And it will be sent back. So the gift of Jesus Christ is a free gift. But some of you have written return to sender. You have sent it back. You are even angry at the thought that such a person should think that he can love you. Amen? So God sent his son to deliver us. Now, man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. Man is made out of three components. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Paul says, I pray that you be sanctified, holy in spirit, in soul, and in body. He mentions the three parts. I pray to God that you be wholly sanctified in spirit, in soul, and in body. So man has these three components. Now when you say that you are born again, you become born again by receiving a new spirit from God. And that new spirit can only be received by faith and by inviting Jesus into your life. Because our spirits are dead and hopeless and wicked and evil. It doesn't matter if you are a nun. You have the same spirit. It doesn't matter if you are a pope. It doesn't matter if you are Lady Reverend Ewart Mills. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is what Romans 6:23 says. So Paul says, I pray the God of peace that he will sanctify you wholly in spirit, in soul, and in body. So you have a spirit that is dead. When you become born again, God gives you a new spirit. And that new spirit can relate to God. Romans 8 says, it cries out, Abba, Father, it reconnects with its maker when you become born again. Spirit man must be born again. That is why on the day that you get born again, your color of skin does not change. Your hair does not change unless you yourself put dye in it. Your features don't change because your body does not change. But the spirit man within you, God said, and I shall give you a new spirit. So he gives you a new spirit, and that is when you can say, Lady Reverend, I said the sinner's prayer, and I'm now born again. But if you get born again this minute, your body can fornicate in the second minute because your body is not saved. Amen? Now, Romans 7, from verse 19.
I'm running to the finishing line. I don't hope to be long. Romans 7, verse 19. Tell me when you are there. You can quote aspects of the Constitution, isn't it? Constitutional law. But you cannot quote the scriptures. The Lord should have mercy on you. Because when the devil comes knocking on your door, it's not article this that will save you. Amen? It is written. That's what will save you. All right, are we there, 19? Paul is writing, and he says, okay, let's read from 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He says, I know, this Apostle Paul writes, he says, I know that in my flesh or in my body, there's no good, because I have the will and the desire to do what is right, but how to carry it out deludes me. And that has been the story of many of us. Amen. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. How many of you can relate to that? The good that I want to do, I cannot. But the evil, that is what I do, because your flesh will always want the things that are not good. Amen? That is why the flesh doesn't like vegetables and fruits, but it likes things that will bring disease. Because the flesh is fashioned that way. And if Apostle Paul, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus, who wrote more than 3/4 of the New Testament, who had a vision to the seventh heavens, who met God in Arabia and was not tutored by anybody, and had miracles that his shadow could fall on people and they could be healed. If he says that the good that I want to do, I don't do, but the evil, that's what I do, then you and I, are we anywhere near Paul's credentials? Amen. Let's read on. Then he says, now if I do that I would not, or if I do what I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I want to do good, or I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God. I want to do what God's word says. After the inward man, that is your spirit. After the inward man. But I see another law in my members, that is in the parts of my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members or in my body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says that I want to do good. I want to do after the inward man. Now he's born again. He has received a new spirit, the inward man. And the inward man is saying, not this way, that way. Not this way, that way. But he says that there's a constant battle. And wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body? Then he tells us the solution. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That is Paul's solution. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the Amplified, it says that, who shall deliver me? Then he says, oh, thank God he will through Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God he will. That means God will deliver you through Jesus Christ. But it can only be done through Jesus Christ. So your body is not born again. And your body would always like to lead you the wrong way. So, Lady Reverend, what do we do with the body? 1 Corinthians 9:27. In 26, Paul says, I fight not as one that beats the air, but I keep my body under. Another verse says, I discipline my body so that after preaching Christ, not before, after, I myself will not be a castaway.
Many of us have given our lives to Christ, but the body is the chief justice of your life. Your body is the head of the judicial council and makes all the decisions for you. And the Bible is saying you can become a spiritual person by feeding your spirit more, and then the body will be subdued. And Apostle Paul has done all these great things. He says that even after I've preached, I can fall. Even after I've preached, this body can disgrace me. He says, because of that, I discipline my body. Another verse says, I give my body punches and blows. So, when you are born again, you receive the grace and the strength to say no to your body. You receive the grace and the strength from the inward man and from God to pummel your body. You receive the grace to tell the body, no, we are not going here, we are going here. When I stepped on this campus in 1982, I'm sure some of you had not been born. And I was a born-again Christian, all right. But I also had a bit of psychedelic Christianity. So we had what you call October Rush. And every time I walked down the law faculty from Volta Hall with my friends, there was this guy always standing on the balcony of Ikwafu Hall. And then he would come and say, oh, hi, I've noticed that you always walk down. Can I walk you down? Oh, okay, you can walk me down. And then at a point, he started to say, you know, you are very special. And sometimes when I get there, he said, oh, I got you a cold drink because of the scorching sun. So even though I was a Christian, I said, oh, this is a very nice dude. And he even brings me cold drinks to facilitate my journey. What a caring guy. With time, I said to him, but you know, you are not born again. And I'm born again. So what's that? And I preached to him like I'm preaching to you this morning. And when I preach to him, it's the fastest conversion I've ever seen. You want to give your life to Christ? Yes. When? Now. Do you want to say the sinner's prayer? Yes. When? Now. So I'd gone to visit him with a friend of mine. So we went and we led him into the sinner's prayer. And my friend was also a Christian, said, oh, the harvest is so ready. I mean, when we just preached the word, he just received it. Then after I asked him, do you have a Bible? So yeah, Bible. My mother gave me a Bible when I was coming to school. Hang on, hang on. And he took a chair and went above his wardrobe and started rummaging through the things. He said, oh, I don't know where I put it, but I have a Bible. He said, so now that you are born again, you need to let your spirit man grow. So you must read the word of God. Yeah, everything you say. And then he said, you know, Adelaide, I was even going for a jam. But how you have ministered to me, you didn't use minister, but how you've preached to me, I can't even go. I suppose I'll just see you off and then come back to my room. Then I had another wishy-washy friend who was not really Christian. So I met her on my way back to the hall. And I said, oh, so-and-so, I went, he's giving his life to Christ. She said, oh, wow, really? Then the next morning, I met this friend of mine again. She said, ah, did you say this guy gave his life to Christ? I said, yes. I led him to the sinner's prayer. I said, There was a major rooftop jam. He was there. I said, oh, he said he wouldn't go to the jam and that God has changed him. She said, ah, he was there. He was the main person. What was it? My flesh was saying, this is a caring man. This is somebody who will really care about you. This is a very nice dude. So your body wants certain things. And the Spirit of God is saying, this is not my way. And this is not good for you. Amen. So then I got to a point where I didn't enter a relationship because I wanted to please God. And I would be happy to tell you that, oh, it was easy. I just came and said, you know, the word of God, I have to obey. No. In my closet, I cried. I said, God, is it because you, Jesus, you didn't marry? You don't know what love is. I thank God for the grace not to follow your body and to do everything your body wants to do. After that, the person manifested fully on my line. Oh, P20. He probably befriended everybody on that line. So says in the morning when I'm going for lectures or coming from the bathrooms, he's now come to sleep there and he's going. And God said, do you see what I delivered you from? Because I came as a pure SU girl, telling God always, let me marry my first beloved. I don't want adventures. I just want to marry my first beloved. And I want to also be his first beloved. Do you know God answered that prayer? God answered that prayer. Amen. So your body would like to do things. It wants to go here. It wants to be accepted. It wants to manifest its passions. But Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again. And the reason why Christians say they are born again, and yet we cannot see the fruit, is the denial of self is not there. The cross is only jewelry on our necks, but it has no place in our lives. There's no cross. And Christianity without a cross is not Christianity. Christians of today, you don't want to pay any price. Everything must be miriso. Everything must be, I name it, I claim it, and I take it. But if the Son of God had to go onto the cross, so would you and I. So this body must be crucified. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. But many Christians, Christ is crucified and you are standing by the side. But Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, the life that I now live, there must be a place where you can say, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. You see, when I was putting that, I don't want to say foolish boy, but that thing on the altar, I was crying, thinking that I'm losing something. But God was preparing something greater that I didn't know about. But in your walk with God, you will have to put something on the altar and you will have to die to self. Some of you, you want marks. So, oh, let me just sleep with a lecturer and then I will go through. You will go through. There are many more things to go through in life. And remember, a lot of things are seeds. Many people on this campus who were supposed to be the hottest girls in their hot pants and their whatever, whatever. I mean, I don't say it in a proud way, but where they ended is so sad. But on campus, you couldn't tell that. That is where they were going to. They were the campus popular girls. They were the ones who knew the men with the barracudas and the Benzes. And even one during Easter, a man came to give her 2 slaps. I sent you to China, wham, and you are deceiving me. Another one, I sent you to New York. And after that, he rolled his carpet, Bushman, and took his fridge and everything out of the room. Out of the room. And I thought, why wouldn't you serve Jesus? Your gratification may not come now, but God will look after you. That's what the big woman, you will become. The big man, you will become. I always believe that law is a lucrative profession. People say, oh, look at lawyers, they are a lot. They are working there. It's not true. At least I haven't seen that. When I look through my mates, I haven't seen that. Not even one. Not even one, by the grace of God. So people wear suits and walk along the high street. But some of them are commissioners of oaths. And they are doing legal things, but they are not lawyers. Amen? Even the judiciary doesn't have enough lawyers. That's why they have magistrates who are not lawyers, but they have to train them to fill those positions because they are not enough lawyers. But life is not about big manism. Life is about seeking God first. Amen. So your body must be disciplined through the new Holy Spirit that comes to live in you. Now, what about our minds, our emotions, our intellect, our will? Lady Reverend, what about that? Because remember when we read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says we are in 3 parts, that your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, the spirit is an inward man. The body is what Paul is saying, fights, and he has to discipline it. It's not anybody who is going to discipline it for you. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, so that we can discipline the body. Amen. Now, what about the soul? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Paul writing again says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Present what? A living sacrifice. It is living because the body is alive. And every time you put it on the altar, it tries to run away. Every time you try to pin it to the cross, it will try to. And Paul said, you present, not an angel, you present your bodies as a sacrifice unto God. Then he comes to verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformation means change. Trans means across. Transatlantic. Trans, you go across. So it's a transformation. Going across for a new formation, for a new thing to begin in you. Amen. You haven't done interpretation of statutes. You do that in law school. So transform. What does it mean? If you have transformation in a law and how it is put, do you use mechanical approach, Nocita Associates rule, you will get there. So our minds have to be renewed. The soul is your mind, your intellect, your emotion. A lot of you ladies, you are led by your emotions. You see him say, Lady Reverend, even his voice alone kills me. It's not with voice alone that you marry. And it's not with voice alone that you decide. See, a lot of the brothers who were like your mates, they are not shiny. They don't have anything. And they are just walking about. But that is not their end. So if you are going to marry with material things, and you had seen Bishop Dag, always jeans, same t-shirt, walking about, you say, I like that businessman over there, not this one. But you have to renew your mind. So Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Unless you renew your mind, you are going to think like the world. And we renew our minds by meditating on scripture. Because the world has many. Some of you, you live by African proverbs. It is the one who is near, who hears the crocodile cock. It's true. He said, when your calves become bigger than your thighs, then it's disease. You are living with African proverbs, but you must live by the word of God. It's the word of God that changes the way we think. People say, test your body to see if you can be pregnant before you marry. It makes sense, but it is contrary to how God thinks. And therefore, we don't think like that. People say, how do you prove your love if you don't sleep together? It makes sense, but the Bible says your body is God's temple. You have made it a lotto kiosk. Anybody can buy from it. That is not God's intention. You have to renew your mind. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to live by kakro, banku, omutuo, but the word of God is not part of your life. You never meditate on it. You never eat anything spiritual. You have to renew your mind. Start thinking like God's word says. How can you know? When you get into the word. All the scriptures I'm sharing, the whatever, it's from my youth, walking with God. The daily quiet time. It wasn't one big meal. It was the daily little things that you didn't even know were getting into you. That makes you who you are. So if we are to be born again and be changed by the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, then we can affect the judicial system of Ghana because we love God, we will actually be changed. So I came to tell you this morning, like Jesus, that verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot enter. Eternal life begins when you, by faith, give your life to Christ. Eternal life begins when you mean it from your heart and surrender all to Jesus. And eternal life continues when you walk with God. Allow him to change your mind, the way you think, and also to discipline your body by the power that comes into you when you say yes to Jesus. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Shall we stand? This morning, I cannot leave here without giving you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. It is my greatest asset on this planet. Yet, I have received some inheritance, a very powerful one from my dad who died. Because yes, my father was well endowed. But there's no greater inheritance than my relationship with God. That has been what has kept me and brought me to this place. And you too can have a meaningful relationship with Jesus. This morning you want to say, Lady Reverend, I'm not going to be like Nicodemus. I'm not going to be a big woman or a big man. I realize that I've been playing games with God. I realize that I need to be born again. I realize that I need to get serious with God. Lady Reverend, I don't care about my reputation. What I care is what God thinks. This morning you are like that here. And you want to say, I want to start all over with God. Lady Reverend, I recognize that you and I have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. And this morning, I want to say, Jesus, I come to you. If you are here like that this morning, every eye closed and every head bowed, I came all the way to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ, to give you an opportunity to get serious with God again. You are like that here this morning. Just lift your hands high up and I'll pray for you. Jesus is walking up and down these aisles. Forget about who is on your left and who is on your right. Forget about the reputation you have on campus. Just lift your hands high. Even people go on gay pride parades and they are not shy. Why should you be shy of the master? Lady Reverend, I play games. I've given my life to Christ before, but my relationship is some way. It's time to renew it. Let your hand go up and I'll pray with you. I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me by the blood that flowed on Calvary. I hear thy welcome voice. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing. Precious blood that flows on Calvary. I'm coming, Lord. I am coming, Lord. Why don't you come to Jesus? You lifted up your hands, I saw them. Now take another decision to come. Come forward. Defy all odds. Forget about reputation. It doesn't save. Come. Come. I saw more hands than that. Come to Jesus. Come. Jesus said, if you are shy of me, I'll also be shy of you. Your life. You say you are born again, but you are not serious in your walk with God. I'm giving you another chance. I'm coming, Lord. Come. Come. Oh, it's the sick that need a physician, not those that are well. Come. Rededication, a new beginning. To just say this prayer with me and mean it with your whole heart. I also came forward like that and I gave my life to Jesus and I've not regretted it. I want you to say this prayer after me and mean it with your whole heart. Let it be a personal prayer. Forget about who is around you. Look into the lovely face of Jesus and say these words to him. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am.
Jesus, take me and make me your child. Jesus, come into my heart and be the master and the Lord of my life. Wash me from all my sins. Forgive me for not walking with you. Today, I give my life to you. Thank you for coming to die on the cross to save me. And thank you for rising from the dead so that I may be saved. Father, I commit these ones into your hands. Like Nicodemus, who came in the night and later came in the day to identify with you and even to embalm your body, I pray that today will mark a great beginning in their walk with you. Deliver them from evil. Deliver them from generational curses. Deliver them from ancestral spirits. Deliver them from things that draw them back. And Lord, reveal yourself to them in a way they've never known. Make their walk with you sweet. Give them more light. Strengthen them and use them for your purpose. And above all, make them the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Let them also stand to testify of what you have done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Congratulations. May God reward your courage. May God reward your humility. For it is those who humble themselves that God lifts up. I brought some gifts for you. God bless you. Please read it and be strengthened. Is there any counselor going after the service? Please go to your seats. I'm sure there'll be a meeting afterwards.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kanishi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.